Okay, Rabbi Yisai, a good morning to one and all. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Instead of starting at the very top of the Amud, we're going to repeat the Mishnah, because that's the Hakdomah to today's Gemara. So the Mishnah is Kuf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, and tells us about the historical case of the Menois Tzlofchad. We all know that the Menois Tzlofchad in the Torah complained to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that the halacha of nachla is that the boys get the nachla of the father that passed away. Our father, Tzlofchad, was not zochet to bonim, only to bonos. Does that mean loma yigara? Why should we not have a nachla if we have no brothers? And guess what? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kein benoi Tzlofchad, doivrois, they're absolutely right. And that's the pasuk that we've been quoting numerous times. Ish kiyomus uven ein loy. There is no son. Pavartimus nachlosoi levitoi. So therefore, the Bnei Tzlofchad received a chelik ba'aretz. The question is, how many chalakim? And our Mishnah told us they got three chalakim. Three chalakim, how is that? So let's see the Mishnah. Bnei Tzlofchad not lugimul chalakim b'nachla. B'nachla means in Eretz Yisrael at the times of Yeshua ben Nun, when he was allocating the various shvatim and the various properties in Eretz Yisrael, then they got one chelik. What one chelik they got? Number one chelik avien, shehoyim yoytzim mitzrayim. They got the chelik of their father Tzlofchad. Even though Tzlofchad never entered into Eretz Yisrael, after all, the pasuk tells us, Bnei Tzlofchad said, avinu meis b'midbar. Our father, Tzlofchad, passed away in the Midbar. V'hu lo haya. He was not part of the Adas Meraglim. He was not part of Koyrach. But he passed away. There are some that say that the reason why he passed away, he was the Mekoshish Eitzim. But that's not today's Gemara. The point is, he passed away in the Midbar. And our Mishnah learns that who got a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael? The Yoytze Mitzrayim. Tzlofchad was one of the Yoytzei Mitzrayim, and even though he physically never entered into Eretz Yisrael, however, this chus, the right to an achla in Eretz Yisrael, was the chus of the Yoytzei Mitzrayim, those that left Mitzrayim. So, the Bnei Tzlofchad, since Tzlofchad had no sons, Tzlofchad would have, should have, could have received a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, since he was no longer, had he had sons, his sons would have received the chelik. Since there were no sons, the Benoit Tzlofchad got the chelik of Tzlofchad. But in addition to that, we know that Tzlofchad's father was Chefer. In fact, the Pasuk refers to Tzlofchad ben Chefer. So, Chefer was also one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And therefore, als Chefer, the Benoit Tzlofchad were also entitled to receive a chelik. Why were they entitled to receive a chelik? Because Chefer left, let us make life easy, five sons. One of the five sons was Tzlofchad. And then there were another four. I'm not sure if they exactly were five, there were three, there were six. But just to take an arbitrary number, there were five sons. One was Tzlofchad, and then they had the other four. So, regardless of the fact that Tzlofchad was no longer alive, but since Chefer was entitled to receive a chelik ba'aretz, which means that his schus to receive a chelik was shared by his five sons, the five sons including Tzlofchad. Since Tzlofchad passed away, unfortunately, prematurely, the Bnei Tzlofchad yarshined their father's right to receive a chelik of Chefer's schus of Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. So that's b'chelkoi im echov b'nichsei Chefer. And finally, v'shoyibachar noitel shnei chalokim. Tzlofchad was the eldest in the family, and so therefore, when Chefer passed away, Tzlofchad got a double portion. Since Tzlofchad was no longer alive, his double portion was yarshined by his benoy Tzlofchad, by the daughters. So therefore, the daughters had now three chalokim. Number one, because their father Tzlofchad was Yoytzei Mitzrayim. Number two, because their Zayda Chefer was miyoytzim Mitzrayim, so they didn't get a chelik because they were enikloch. They got a chelik because they were the daughters of Tzlofchad, who was a son of Chefer. And number three, because of the fact that Chefer, because of the fact that Slavchad was a Bechor, so he had two Chalokim in Chefer, so they Yarshin those, they double Chalik. So therefore they had three Chalokim all together. Rishbam points out that the Gemara later on is going to tell us, not today, but in the future, that in fact they got a fourth Chalik Ba'aretz as well. Really? Fourth Chalik? What happened? Chefer, as I said before, had several sons. One of the sons, besides Slavchad, unfortunately passed away prematurely, also in the Midbar, leaving no children, no kids. And therefore, who is supposed to now take over his chelik? If there are no banim, it goes to the banois. But there are no banim or banois. So who does it go to? Then it goes to the av. It goes to the father. That would have been Chefer. Chefer would have yarshin from his son. But Chefer had already also passed away. So who does it go now to? It goes to the achim. Like the pasuk says, v'im ein loy bas, and then you go and give, v'nesata, you give it to the achim. Okay, so who are the achim? Tzlavchad is one of the achim. Since Tzlavchad was also no longer, Tzlavchad's daughter has received that chelik as well. Not only the chelik of Tzlavchad because he was one of the Yoytzei Mitzrayim, not only in Chefer because Tzlavchad was entitled to receive a chelik from Chefer, not only because he was a Poshet, but he was a Bechor, so therefore they were entitled to a double chelik in Chefer, and they're also entitled to receive a partial chelik in the brother of Tzlavchad, who unfortunately passed away and left no children. So you're wondering, why wouldn't the Mishnah tell us about this number four? Says the Rishbam, because there is no chidush. All the other three are teaching us chidushim. What are the chidushim? So you remember the first Mishnah in our, not the first Mishnah, the Mishnah that we learned yesterday said that whenever we talk about, for instance, Ben Koidim Labas, it's not only the Ben himself, but Kol Yoytzi Yerechoy Sheben goes before Labas. So just to give a simple example, what happens if Yaakov Avinu passes away? And he leaves behind, we all know Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons, and he had one daughter, Dina. Let's assume that all of the sons passed away. Dina's the only one around. Well, normally you would say, okay, so now Dina goes and yashins. No, not so fast. First we have to see whether any of the 12 sons left any children of their own. So let's assume, for instance, that Reuven had a daughter by the name of Sprinza. Now we have Yaakov Avinu has one Einikol Sprinza, the daughter of Reuven, and he has one daughter who's Dina. Now you and I, had it not been for the Mishnah, had it not been for the Torah, we would have said that presumably Dina gets first, because after all, Dina is first in line in terms of her blood connection to her father. That's her father. Her father Yaakov Avinu passed away, so she should be Zoicha. But you remember we learned in the Gemara that that's not the halacha. The halacha is that any ben, the kol yoytzi reichoy shel ben, right? Remember the Gemara said right after the Mishnah, not only ben, ben ha ben minayin, and basa ben minayin, and ben basa ben minayin, and ben abas, and basa ben, and all that. The Gemara said because it says, ben ein loy, ayin olav. Ah, okay, so first the Gemara is telling us, our Mishnah is illustrating that case in historic terms. And it's saying that Benoy Slavchad, they are the ones, Benoy Slavchad, that got their chelik of their father, as well as the chelik of their Zayda of the of Chefer. So it's coming to tell you that since their father was no longer, Slavchad never passed away, so then they are the Bas HaBen, since Slavchad should have gotten a chelik in Chefer, but unfortunately he passed away. Okay, he passed away. But since Tzlavchad had daughters, they now are Zocha to Tzlavchad's Chelik in Chefer. So therefore, our Mishnah illustrates the prior Mishnah's Halacha, that Kol Yoytzi Reicha Shel Ben comes before the Bas. So here not before the Bas, but they are Zoche together with the other brothers of Tzlofchad. In other words, with their uncles. So that's number one. Number two, our Mishnah is telling you that we go after the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Because as we'll see in the Gemara in another moment, there's a machloikis, whether the Yotzei Mitzrayim Nischalka Oretz, or the Bo'ei Ha'oretz Nischalka Oretz. So since our Mishnah focuses on the fact that Tzlofchad was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, we see that you go after the Yotzei Mitzrayim, not after the Bo'ei Ha'oretz. Now you're wondering to yourself, what difference does that make in practical terms? If it's Yotzei Mitzrayim or Bo'ei Ha'oretz, so Rashbam tells us in very, very dramatic terms. Let's assume that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there were two brothers, let's call them Reuven and Shimon. Now, Reuven, during the Midbar years, was Zochet to have 10 sons. Wow, Kanai Nahara, 10 sons. Shimon, on the other hand, had fertility issues, and he only had one son. Or it could be he had one son, he had 12 daughters. But that doesn't matter. The point is, Reuven had 10 sons, and Shimon has one son. And now, the 11 boys together, that is, Reuven's 10 sons, and Shimon's one son, are all together now, moving into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yeshua ben Nun. How many chalokim do they get? So Rishbam says, since our Mishnah says, you go liyotze Mitzrayim, liyotze Mitzrayim means that Reuven got one chalik, and Shimon got one chalik. So Reuven's 10 sons are all going to share in one chalik. So each one of them is only going to get 10% of the chalik of their father, because you go after the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Masha Enken, according to those that hold you go Laboye Oretz, then the people that entered in Eretz Yisrael, they get their chalik. Reuven had 10 sons, they get 10 portions. Shimon had one son, and he gets one portion. So there's obviously a dramatic difference between Yotzei Mitzrayim and Boye Oretz. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we get into the Gemara, but that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Did you go after Yotzei Mitzrayim? That we illustrated the case of the Bas HaBen, meaning the daughter Tzlofchad got a chedek of their Zayda of Chefer. And number three, most importantly, says our Mishnah, that because he was a Bechor, Noitel Pishnayim, the girls, the Benoit Tzlofchad, received two halakim. Now you're thinking to yourself, okay, that's, you know, it's a pretty simple halacha. That is not so simple, Rabbi Yisai. And it has profound ramifications even for today. What do I mean? We have that famous rule that when it comes to Bechori's Noitel Pishnayim, Bechol Asher Yimotzei Loi, Darshan de Gemara, that a Bechor does not take a double portion, Beroi Kibbe Muchsuk. He only takes a double portion in the Muchsuk. So Freik de Rishbam, when Chefer was alive, and he was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and when Tzlofchad was alive and he was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, they never received Eretz Yisrael. It was not Muchsik B'yadehem. When did it become Muchsik? When Yeshua ben Nun allocated it 40 years later, the Boi Yaretz. So if that's the case, why the B'nai Tzlofchad getting a double portion? After all, their father Tzlofchad, even though he's entitled to a double portion, Pishnayim, but only B'chalashi Matzir Loi, anything which is Muchsik. So if Chefer left over, for instance, a beautiful gold watch, or if he had a beautiful silver cuss, or he had a beautiful Megillah that they laid on Purim, and so on and so forth. I don't know if they laid Megillah on Purim, a little bit early for that. But the point is that any Mechosin that he had, Motsui, then Slav would get a double portion. But Chefer didn't own a Chedek in Eretz Yisrael yet. They only got it later on. Is the Chiddush of our Mishnah, says Rishbam, is that all Yidin were already muchsik in Eretz Yisrael from the times of the Oves HaKadoshim, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that he's going to give Klal Yisrael their Einikloch, Eretz Yisrael, it was already muchsik b'yadeyim. And Rabbi Yisai, therefore, it continues to be muchsik b'yadeyinu ad hayoyim hazeh, notwithstanding all the Umas HaOilam and all the Rishoyim that want to take it away from us. This is something that was God-given to Klal Yisrael already from the times of the Ovois, and therefore Chefer and Slavchad and all the Yoitz Mitzrayim already muchzokim in Eretz Yisrael, even though they had not even entered into Eretz Yisrael. So all three of those, therefore, are chidushim that go and tell us the fact that the girls would also yarshin the uncle's chelik, meaning that Slavchad was yarshining a chelik from his brother who never passed away. That's not a chidush. That's a double poshut, because we've already said that Bas HaBen is like the Ben himself. So that's why our Mishnah doesn't tell us about that fourth chelik, but we will have that more in the future in Yetzisha. Good. So we finished the Mishnah. The Bnei Slavchad got three chalokim, and now says the Gemara Tanan, our Mishnah's command, the Omar, Liyoitzi Mitzrayim Nishalka Oretz. We're going to see in the following Braisa a three-way machlokes. Whether Eretz Yisrael was Nishalik Liyoitzi Mitzrayim, or Liboiho Oretz, or to both. And the Gemara will spell it all out, and we'll see it's very straightforward. Tanan, our Mishnah, since it says that when Slavchad got the chilek of Slavchad, who was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, is command the only Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Schalka Aretz, that the cheshbon of the allocations was based on the Yidden that left Mitzrayim. The same like it says in the Braisa. Rabbi Yoshi Oimer says, Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Schalka Aretz, Shinemer, how do I know? And the Gemara brings now two psukim. Both of these psukim are virtually back to back. They're both in Bamidbar Chavav, which is in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, as you know, from the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, we have a counting of all the Yidden that were there at that time. And the counting of those Yidden was shortly before the end of the 40 years. And they're getting ready to leave and go into Eretz Yisrael. So we have two psukim. If you have the Torah Ora Sholem, he brings both psukim. Pasuk number one is, Ach b'goyrol yecholik yisa oretz, when the land will be divided up, it will be divided up based on a goyrol, and the Urim v'tumim and the Kohen Gadol, etc. L'shmois matas avoysim yincholo. You know how they're going to divide it up? According to the matas avoys. What means matas avoys? We're going to see on the Amid Beis, that means l'yoytzei mitzrayim. That's how we're going to allocate. However, there's a second pasuk. La'ela meaning those people that we just counted, all of the 12 Shvatim, which added up to something more than 600,000. La'ela to them will be Techoli Ka'aretz. Benachala, the Mispar Shemas. So the first pasuk suggests that the division or the allocation of Eretz Yisrael will be based on the Yoytze Mitzrayim. The second pasuk, La'ela Techoli Ka'aretz, suggests that is based on the Bo'ei Ha'aretz. And that's where the Machloikis applies and fits in. So getting back to Gemara, the Sanya, Rabbi Yoshi Oimer. Le'oitz Mitzrayim Nishal Ka'aretz, Shenemar, L'shmois Matos Avoysim Yincholu. Where do we see in the words of L'shmois Matos Avoysim Yincholu that it's referring to the Yoitz Mitzrayim? Maybe it's just telling us that when Yeshua ben Nun is going to split it up, he's going to split it up according to the individual Shvatim, giving Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvul, and everybody's going to have their chelik, some B'tzofim, some B'dorim, some B'mizach, some B'marav. Really doesn't say clearly the Yoytze Mitzrayim. It just says it's going to be allocated l'shmois in accordance with Matis Avoysim, the Shvatim Yinchalo. So the Gemara is going to ask that kasha in the Amid Beis, where do we see that it's referring to Yoytze Mitzrayim? But just rely on it that that's what means Yoytze Mitzrayim. So Frey Timura, if that's the case of Mani Makayim, how do I fulfill the second pasuk? Second pasuk says Lo Eile Techolik Aretz Benachla, sounding like these people that are the Boya Aretz, those that are around now, not the Yoytze Mitzrayim. Is the Chora Astira? How do we understand the second pasuk according to Rabbi Yoshia? Says our Gemara, La'ela, do you hear a lot of background noise? If so, I'm sorry. Kinelach, abyssal shtilla. Children, a little bit quieter. Okay, so it says, La'ela, Darsh Gemara, Ko'ela, Lahoitzi es hatfalim. What does that mean? In Parshas Pinchas, when we count out all the Yidden and all of the Shvatim, you remember to Reuven, lechanoich mishpachas achanoichi, lefalu mishpachas hapalui. And then it tells us how many Reuven had and how many Shimon had, and so on and forth. So on and so forth. At the beginning of the parasha, it says that when you count them, count them ben esrim shona v'mola. It's got to be from 20 years and higher. Says Zigmara, applying that standard of the 20 years and higher, same thing applies to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. If at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you had children who were less than the age of 20, even teenagers who were 17, 18, 19, if they were less than 20, then they do not get a chedik baret, and they don't leave a chedik for their children and einikloch that went into Eretz Yisrael. It's got to be, the word tfalim means like the word taf. We normally think of taf as being children. However, Rishbam says, lav davke, little babies and children, it means anything below the age of 20. So if Tzlofchad and Chefer had been only 18 at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they would not get a chelik. But Baruch Hashem, they were above the age of 20, so therefore they are Yotzei Mitzrayim, they are not Tfalim, and they are giving their chelik to their children when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's our girsa. The Rishbam brings another girsa from the Sifri, that la'ela ka'ela la'hoitzi es harishoim, that the only ones that received the chelik ba'aretz were the Erlich Yidin, the Choshevi, the Tayre Yidin, those Yidin that were Torah true, and Mekayim the Mitzvahs, not Rishoyim. And we're going to talk about on the Omid Beis, the Meraglim and the Adas Koirach, that they did not receive a chelik ba'aretz. So that's what the Ko'ele, like these Yidin who are Choshev and Tayre and Fine Yidin, those are the Yidin that were Zoicha in a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So that was Rabbi Yoshia. Excuse me, I'm going to ask the kids to be a little quieter. One second. Be right back. Kindle, kindle, kindle. I'm giving a shear and you're making a lot of noise. Try to be a little quieter. Shkoyach. Okay. So that was Rabbi Yoshia. Now we go to the second view, and that is of Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason oimer leboya oretz nischalka oretz, that Eretz Yisrael was allocated according to those entering into Eretz Yisrael, not liyoytze Mitzrayim. Shenemar, that second pasuk that we just quoted, lo'eile, those that were counted and enumerated in Parshas Pinchas, they got Eretz Yisrael, lo'eile techolik oretz benachla. I, Elamani Mekayim, what do I do with that first pasuk, l'shmois matis avoysim yin cholu, meshuna nachle zumi kol nachle sheba'olam. This nachle is meshuna. Meshuna means it's unique and different than any other nachle. Shekol nachle sheba'olam chayim yorshin meisim. Naturally, the normal way of life is, chas v'sholom, a person passes away, his heirs, his successors, they yarshin from the meisim, those that passed away. The kan in our case, meisim yorshin chayim, those that already passed away, the yarshin from the lebedika, those that are alive. What does that mean? I don't understand. So let's go back to what we said when we were learning the Mishnah. What's the difference if you hold that Eretz Yisrael was allocated to the Yotzei Mitzrayim or to the Bo'ei Ha'aretz? And you'll recall we said that, let's say, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you had two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and they both left Mitzrayim. They were both over the age of 20. They're now in the Midbar. Baruch Hashem, they both got married. They both had children. Reuven had 10 sons, and Shimon had only one son. Okay, if you hold the Yotzei Mitzrayim, all the 10 boys of Reuven, as well as the one son of Shimon, all of them are going to get, the 10 are going to get one package of Nachla that should have been their father. And the Shimon's one son is also going to get a package of Nachla that should have been his father. Which means that the Reuven's 10 sons are only going to get 1/10 of the Nachla that Shimon's son is getting. Why? Because we don't count the Nefashis now. We count the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Yotzei Mitzrayim, there was one Reuven, there's still one Reuven, even though he has 10 sons. The 10 sons are going to go and get the portion of their father Reuven. Masha'en Kain Shimon, who only had one son, that one son is going to get the portion of his father Shimon. Therefore, by definition, Shimon is going to have a much larger chalik than Reuven's 10 kids. That's how Rabbi Yoshe learns Liyotz Mitzrayim. What about Leboya Aretz? Leboya Aretz, so on the surface that means that Reuven's 10 kids are going to get 10 separate beautiful portions, and Shimon's son is going to get one portion, and therefore 11 big, big portions. However, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, there's a nice wrinkle on that. And what is that nice wrinkle? That because the Mesim, Yoshim, Esachayim, Reuven and Shimon, who collectively, their children, have 11 portions, those 11 portions go back to Reuven and Shimon, who were the Yoitzim Mitzrayim. And now what's going to happen is, we're going to divide the 11 portions between the two, Reuven and Shimon. And now Reuven's 10 kids are going to get 5.5 portions, and Shimon's one son is going to get 5.5 portions. And that's what we mean here in the Gemara, that the Mesim Yoshim Esachayim, because if you don't say Mesim Yoshim Esachayim, then the boy Aretz, these are 10 kids, they get 10 portions. Shimon has one kid, he gets one portion, and finish, we're done. No. Because of the fact that we're going to add together the 10 and the 1, and we're going to revert it back to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are now going to split those 11 portions in half. Reuven's sons, the 10 sons, are going to get 5.5. And Shimon's son, singular son, is going to get 5.5. Now, just in case this sounds rather strange, the Gemara gives us a mashal. Omer Rebbe, Emshalucha mashal ma'ado v'doyim. I'll give you an example. Lishna Yachin, you had two brothers who were both Kohanim. Shehoyu bi'irachas, they both lived together in the same town. Le'echad yeshle ben echad, one of them had one son. Le'echad yeshle shnei banim, the other one had two sons. And v'holchu le'goyrin, it comes now time for the kahanim to receive their portion of truma at the granary. And the two brothers, right, shnei achim kahanim, let's call them Reuven and Shimon hakoyin, they sent respectively the two sons and the one son, and all three sons went down to the goy. And they made up in an advance, Reuven and Shimon, the two brothers, that whatever the boys are going to bring back, we're going to split it equally between ourselves. Obviously, they didn't have to do that. Reuven could say, my singular son who's going to go and pick up the truma, whatever he gets, that'll be for our family. And Shimon will say, whatever my two boys collect, that'll be for our family, and that will be fine. Shalom al Yisra. However, they made up, no. Reuven and Shimon apparently were tied at the waist, if you will, very, very close, and they said, whatever they collect, we're going to split it 50-50. It could be, for instance, that Reuven knew that his son is very tichtig. Very tichtig means that he was very diligent, very creative, very talented. He might be able to go and collect more truma than the two sons of Shimon, just by the fact of his personality, or because of the strength of himself, or his wagon, whatever, it doesn't really make a difference. The point is that now we have three portions. The Reuven who had one son, he takes one chelik. And Shimon HaKoyin, who had two sons, he gets the two from his sons. And now, because of the pact that they made between themselves to share and share alike, they now give the two and the one to their parents, to Reuven and Shimon, to the two brothers. They're going to share it bishava. So therefore, Reuven, who only had one son, is going to get 1.5 chalokim. And Shimon, who had two sons, is also going to get 1.5 chalokim. And the same thing applies to Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yoinesen, that since the Mesim Yorshim Esachayim, the 11 portions are not going to remain 10 for the sons of Reuven and 1 for the son of Shimon, but rather all 11 portions go back to Reuven and Shimon. They're going to divide it per kever, They both passed away, but they're going to divide it by Kever. And now Reuven is going to leave a Yerusha 5.5 for his sons, and Shimon will leave a Yerusha 5.5 for his singular son. And with this, we have concluded now the second Mandiyama. We had Rabbi Yoishi that says Liyoitze Mitzrayim. We have Rabbi Yoishi that holds Leboya Oretz, but with a wrinkle. Stak Leboya Oretz, but the Mesim Yorshin Mesachayim, like we explained. And now we have a third Mandiyama, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Oyma. Shimon Elazar is the Yovei HaKosev HaShlishi VeAchriya Beyeyam, and he is like Rav Papa of the Nimrinu LeTravayu. And he says, "La'elu u'le'elu neschalka oretz." Both the Yoitze Mitzrayim and the Boya Oretz got halakim. Kidei lekayim shnei mikrois halol. So that we would be mekayim these two psukim. The two psukim, as we said on the Omer Aleph, seem to be at odds. One suggests Yoitze Mitzrayim. The other one says Leboya Oretz. Says Reb Shimon Elazar, they're both true. Say, okay, said, explain to me, what do you mean? If all we had was Lemoshel, the Tzlovchad, who left Mitzrayim, who was 20 years old, he comes to the Midbar, and in the Midbar he had a whole bunch of children, Baruch Hashem, in this case a whole bunch of daughters. What happens when it comes to the Boy Ha'aretz? None of those five, let's presume that none of those five were Bas Esrim. So what would be the right to receive? It would be because of the fact that they're getting because of their father Tzlovchad, as well as the three Chalokim that Tzlovchad got. Tzlovchad because he was Yoitze Mitzrayim, and because he was the son of Chefer, and because he was a Bechor. They have all of those three Chalokim. So why did they have those three Chalokim? Because of Yoitze Mitzrayim. So therefore, the Bnei Slavcha Noitel Chalkem Yoitz Mitzrayim. What happens? How you mi boya oretz? Meaning, what would have happened if Slavcha, when he left Mitzrayim? Let's assume he was only 18 years old. If he was only 18 years old, sorry, he does not receive a chelik ba'aretz because you have to be at least 20 years old. Okay, so what happens now? But Baruch Hashem, Slavcha, a few years later, got married, and Baruch Hashem, he had kids. A whole bunch of Benoy Slavchad. So although Slavchad himself was not Zoch, again, we're talking about a hypothetical, we're not talking about the truth. The truth, of course, is Slavchad was over 20 and he did get a chelik. We're just at the hypothetical, because we are trying to explain Reb Shimon Elazar. So had Slavchad not been 20 years old, but the five Benoy Slavchad are going into Eretz Yisrael, so then they would get a chelik al Zbo'e Ha'aretz, even though they were not Zoche to get out Yoitze Mitzrayim, because their father was not 20, but out Yoitze, out Boy Oretz, they get a chelik. Maybe girls didn't get only boys, so let's pose a hypothetical where Slavchad had boys, he had sons. If Slavchad was not 20, he didn't get out Yoitze Mitzrayim, but the boys did get because they were Boy Oretz. So therefore, Zokti Gmar, okay, so second line. If he was 20 or over, then he gets a chelik yoitze Mitzrayim. What happens is mikan umikan. Ooh, that means that Slavchad was over 20, so therefore Slavchad was entitled to receive a chelik. The daughters were over 20 when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and if you're going to tell me the case of the Gemara is not talking about girls, only talking about boys, fine. So let's not talk about Slavchad, talk about Reuven. Reuven left Mitzrayim, he was over 20. He had boys in the Midbar. They entered into Eretz Yisrael. They were over 20. And therefore, they would get two chalokim. One chelik al tzioitze Mitzrayim, al tz their father. And one chelik because they were miboei ha'aretz. Therefore, if they were both mikan u mikan, meaning they were both, they had a schus of Yoitze Mitzrayim, their father was Yoitze Mitzrayim and over 20. And they were Zoicha that they went to Eretz Yisrael and they were also over 20. Mikan, mikan, noitel chalkoi, mikan, o mikan. That's how the Rishbam learns Pshat. The Rishbam entertains another Pshat in the Gemara, but he rejects it. And that is, normally, what could you learn in this Gemara? What happens if he was mikan, o mikan? That the same individual was Miyotze Mitzrayim, and he was also Miboi Ha'aretz. He left Mitzrayim, and he lived throughout the entire Midbar, and then he came into Eretz Yisrael, and that's what we mean that he gets a double chedek. But the obvious problem with that is that the Gemara, the Torah tells us that when...
1 year old.
I'm sorry?
No, it was over 20, they were from the same Midbar.
Exactly. That all of those Yidden that left Mitzrayim and came into the Midbar, unfortunately, all of them passed away. Ki im Kolid ben Yefuna v'Yoshua ben Nun. Those are the only two exceptions to the rule. Otherwise, everybody, unfortunately, for Yoyz Mitzrayim passed away. But the Rishbam says, I could still perhaps learn, because when we were talking about the Yin that entered, that went into the Midbar, the Yoyz Mitzrayim, that's because the Psukim always talk about B'ben Esrim Shana, V'ad Shishim Shana. What happens if you had a Yid who was from Yoyz Mitzrayim, who was already showing, quote-unquote, an Alta Yid, he was already over 60. He left Mitzrayim, he was 61. And he lived for the next 40 years in the Midbar. Okay, so according to the Loshon HaPsukim, the only ones that passed away in the Midbar were those that were 20 when they came to the Midbar, and they did not succeed to live to the age of 60. I mean, if they were 20, at 40, 60. If they were, let's say, 30 years old, then they could have lived until 70. If they were 40 years old, they could have lived until 80. However, all of those people, none of them survived the Midbar except Kalev and Yeshua. However, perhaps someone who entered into the Midbar when he was over 60, maybe the Gzeira of the Mesim Midbar did not apply to him. And therefore, if he was now over 100 at the time of the Boya Aret, maybe he would get a double chalik out Yoitz Mitzrayim and Boya Aret. That's a theoretical pshat, says Rishbam, but the Rishbam is not happy with the pshat. He says that the posh pshat in our Gemara is that someone has a double right, number one, because of his father being from the Yoitz Mitzrayim, and number two, because he himself was Boya Aretz, and that's why he gets a double chalik, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And with this, Rabbi, so we have now concluded the three-way machloikis, Reb Yoishia, Reb Yoinis, and Reb Shimon Elazar, where according to Reb Yoishia, only the Yoitz Mitzrayim was Zocha. According to Reb Yoinesen, only the Boya Aretz. But with that wrinkle that the Mesim go and Yarshin from the Chayim. And finally, the third case of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. But now we're going to part of the Braisa, which is really not necessarily Reb Shimon ben Elazar. This everybody could agree to. And that is, what about the Meraglim? The Meraglim that we know sinned as a result of the Dibasa Aretz Ro'a. They spoke poorly of Eretz Yisrael. What happened to their Nachla? Says the Gemara, Yeshua v'Kolev not luchelkam. Yeshua v'Kolev, besides getting their own chelik baretz, they took the 10 chalakim of the 10 meraglim that unfortunately sinned. Misloinim v'adas koirach loy hoyulehem chelik baretz. Those that were misloinim and adas koirach. On the surface, it sounds like we're talking about two different parties. We have the misloinim. The Torah uses the expression that there were those that were misloinim. They were complaining about the fact that in the Midbar there wasn't enough water, and they were complaining about the fact that there wasn't food. They found all types of tlunois, reasons to get angry at a Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, Rishbam tells us that the Gemara later is going to say these are not two separate categories, but it's really the misloinim mei adas koirach. Who were the misloinim mei adas koirach? Says Rishbam, the 250 that were the ones that brought the machtois with their ktoiris, and that they all died. So those are the misloinim me'adas koirach. So what happened to them? Lehoyu lehem chelik baretz. They also did not receive a portion of the land. Habonim not lebischus avi avien ubischus avi imoisein. What does that mean? Unfortunately, these Misloin Me'adas Koirach, the 250 that died mit the Machtois, mit the Ktoiris, what happens if they had Kindelach? And those Kindelach wanted a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. What did they do? They could not get a Chelik based on their fathers that were Yoitz in Mitzrayim, because we just said now that they lost their Chelik, these people that were the Adas Koirach. So, Oy Bazoi, what happened? They were Zoyche if their Zaydi left Mitzrayim, just like we said by Tzlofchad, that it wasn't only Tzlofchad that left Mitzrayim, but also Chayfer left Mitzrayim. See, here too, not only did the Misloimnim Badas Koirach, these 250, but their fathers also left Mitzrayim. So therefore, any one of the children of the Adas Koirach, they could rely on their Zaydis that left Mitzrayim. And if they didn't have a Zaydi from the paternal side, that a Zaydi from the maternal side. Therefore, they were able to go Chilik as a result of that. And with this, we've concluded those people that unfortunately, because of their Rishus, did not receive a Chilik themselves. But remember back on the Omer Aleph, when we started the Braisa, the Gemara said, Rabbi Yoshia says it goes Yoitz Mitzrayim, based on the Pasuk Lishmois Matois Avoisam. Frankly, more my mashma de high lishmois matois avoisim beyoitzim etzrayim ksiv tum lishvatim ka'amr la. Maybe all the pasuk is, it's very, very innocent. It's not saying, go and give it the yoitzim etzrayim. The yoitzim etzrayim were all dead by now. It's the end of the 40 years. What did it mean, lishmois matois avoisim? You don't just go and take, let's assume that there were 600,000 that entered into Eretz Yisrael. You don't just give every one of the 600,000. You get one chelik, you get one chelik, you get one chelik. But first it was subdivided into 12 shvatim. So therefore, Reuven got his and Shimon got his. Perhaps Reuven not, because he really got Eber Ayarde. But you know what I mean. Each shevet got his particular chelik. Shimon got and Menashe and Ephraim and Don and Naphtali and all the rest. So where does it say that it was lishmois matis avoisim that has to do with Yoitzim Mitzrayim? Maybe it's just telling you, first allocate among the shvatim, and then in the shevet itself, you'll allocate among all the b'nei, just to throw out an example, all the b'nei don, they're going to go and share in the chedek of don, but first it has to give it to don, that's lishmois matis avoisim in chol. How do we know b'yoitzim Mitzrayim? Every more dichsib, I have another pasuk. Menasati oisoh lechem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I gave it meaning the holy land of Eretz Yisrael, to you, my Rosha, as Yerusha, and Yashem. Yerusha hi lechem, me avoseichem. This is the Yerusha that you got already from Aram Yitzhak V'Yaakov. Like we said before, it was muchsuk in the hands of the Yoitzim Mitzrayim. How was it muchsuk? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu had already said, Lezarecha etenis oretz azois, I'm going to give this holy land to the Yiddish Kinder, already in the times of the Avos Kedoshim, even though they didn't physically receive it, but they had the schus bo'aretz, and that's considered to be muchzik. Well, Yoitz Mitzrayim gamaluhu, and the Kodesh Baruch is talking to Yoitz Mitzrayim. He's saying, Yoitz Mitzrayim, you, now this pasuk is not in Pinchas. This pasuk is the beginning of Sefer Shemois. And what does it say if you have the Oiz Beis, the Torah or HaSholem? Ve'veisi Eschem, right? You have the four. I'm going to bring you to the holy land. I already swore. I'm going to give it to you as a Meirasha, as a Yerusha. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying that to the Yoitz Mitzrayim. How can he say that to the Yoitz Mitzrayim? The Yoitz Mitzrayim never entered into Eretz Yisrael. Is the chesimen that they already had that schus of receiving the portions in Eretz Yisrael? Even though they themselves were not zoche to be nehenna from those portions, but rather their children and their einikloch, but the Eretz Yisrael was neschalka liyoytzim Mitzrayim. And with this, we have concluded today's Gemara, Rabbi Yisai. So we had the three shitois, we had Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yonasan, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and our Mishnah goes either like Rabbi Yoshia liyoytzim Mitzrayim, or it can theoretically go according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar as well, because Rabbi Shimon Elazar, remember, says that it goes both to Yoitz Mitzrayim and to the Boi Ha'aretz. So Tzlofchad and Chayfa that were Yoitz Mitzrayim, their children were Zoycha to get, the Benoist Tzlofchad Zoycha to get those portions. And then, however, according to the middle Mandiyoma, that's Rabbi Yonasan, no, the Benoist Tzlofchad would not have gotten Bischus their father, they would have to go and get Bischus themselves. With this, we concluded our Gemara. Any questions? Okay, here